listening to this week's LaFever CFC podcast. Connect with us via our website, lafevercfc.com, or our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/LaFever CFC. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
So we're not sending them away. We desperately want you guys heavily involved. And I love Paul's organisational stuff, and Tara's ability to lead us in worship is just amazing. Just the sense of God's presence as she leads is phenomenal. So, love you guys, and really looking forward to continuing our journey of serving the Lord together. Great. Well, if you're expecting today for me to come with a brand new vision for this church, you're going to be desperately disappointed. I am committed to the vision that we have as a church, and reaching the community and all the things that are in that. But let me just read it to you so that you're aware of what it is. Yeah, we've got a few different strategies and ideas that we'll implement, but it's not a different vision. It is the vision that God has placed on this church for a long time. So I hope that you're not disappointed by that. But really, we're a team. I'm coming into that team, and God's been talking to this team and laying a foundation here for some time. So I'm here to be part of outworking that vision and dream that God's placed on the life of this church. And as you may know, we are a group of people wanting to express real hope and authentic love to all people in our community. Real hope and authentic love. That is our vision, to express that to all people in our community. That is pretty broad, isn't it? But as we love Jesus, that we would continue to do that. And that the mission is to know, to grow, and to show Jesus. Hallelujah. What a great mission. We want to know Jesus, we want to grow in Jesus, and we want to show Jesus to people around us. So we're going to continue in that. There might be some different flavor to that, and some different outworkings and expressions of that with me being here and some of the stuff that God's placed within my heart. But it's not off in a different direction. We're building on and continuing with what God's placed in the life and the heartbeat of this church. And I was just so excited yesterday to see LaFever Kids, an outworking of what one of the things that God has placed in birthed in the life of this church, in this church. Because part of this church actually started from a kids club many years ago. And I think Antoinette, you're one of the leaders of that kids program with Pastor Bill Osborne. Not 100 years ago, but that was many years ago. but many years ago, Pastor Bill Osborne came up here and ran a kids club, and out of that, part of this church was birthed. And we know that there's been a merge and different things along the way, but that's part of our journey. And I believe that God places stuff in the DNA of a church, so I believe kids ministry will always be part of the life of this church, because he laid it there as the foundation of who we are and what we do. So today, this week, next week, and the week after, I'm going to be just sharing some things on the Jesus Church. And today is about a Christ-centered community. Next week will be about the life-transforming message, and then the radical call of Jesus will be the week after. So wanting to look at a Christ-centered community, because I believe it is in the place of a Christ-centered community that we will outwork that vision and reaching our community and show Jesus Christ to this community, that we will be the hands and the feet that he's called us to be, will be the representation of him to the community, so people will want to come to Christ, but also will be growing in our love for Jesus Christ and going deeper with him. So being a Christ-centered community. And we're going to look at a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 2 to 9. We don't have a PowerPoint, so you might keep looking up there, but there's nothing coming. So there is no PowerPoint today. But looking at this Christ-centered community, this picture that Paul had, and he writes to the church in Corinth, and in Corinth, the church there at this point in time is a church that is in a city that was demolished and then rebuilt by the Roman soldiers, and it was a church that basically had become, the culture of it was this Roman culture. Not a Jewish culture, but a Roman culture, a Roman way of thinking and living and acting. And in this space, Paul's gone into Corinth. He's spent a year and a half in there teaching the Bible and teaching the Word of God, and now he's left that space, and now he's writing back to them. And he writes this beautiful picture of what church is. But he's writing to a church whose expression of church in that point of time, it was messy. Community was messy for them. In fact, they've got division, there's heresies, there's all selfish ambition, there's ego, there's all this stuff going on in the life of the church. But Paul writes to them, he deals with that later in the book, but right here at the beginning of this book, he says, this is church. This is the picture that Jesus had given him. This is the dream that church is, the perfect church. And as we know, there's no perfect church in the world because there's sinful people that are in it and people who are working on becoming more like Jesus. But Paul writes to them with this beautiful, beautiful picture of the church. And I'll read it to you. And then we'll just pick out some thoughts as we go through it. But it's an amazing picture because he's not writing to the church at this point in time when they've got it all together. He's writing this by faith and saying, this is where we could be. This is what the church could be. So in the middle of their mess, and we all know community is messy. And if we're truly community, then it does get messy because someone will offend us unintentionally. Sometimes they offend us with intent, but there's stuff that happens in life. There's stuff that happens in community. But when we're a Christ-centered community, then there's this beautiful picture. Let me read from verse 2 to you. To the church of God in Corinth. Okay, so it's not writing to the church of God, general, universal. He's writing to a specific church at a specific time, and he calls them the church of God. To those sanctified in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God has confirmed our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will always keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, the first thing I see there is that Paul is, this community, he's absolutely obsessed with Jesus Christ. He keeps just saying, just in that little passage, how many times is it the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ? A Christ-centered community, Paul, for me, I'm saying, Paul is saying here, there's an obsession about Jesus Christ and his Lordship. Paul is just saying, Jesus Christ, a Christ-centered community. He's talking to the church, saying, if you're going to be the church that you are to be, there needs to be almost an obsession with Jesus Christ and his Lordship. Like, he has to be center. He has to be the center of your focus. For all of us, for the church itself, as we gather together in this place, as Paul talks about the church there, he's not talking about this building or a nice big building down the road. He's not talking about the building. He's talking about the people as they gather together. He's also talking about the things they do during the week, the church gathering together. So he's not talking about us as individuals or this universal church. He's talking about a specific church who are gathering together, whether it's as for that corporate worship, which we're doing now, or whether it's in our homes or at different places, whenever we gather together, he's saying there needs to be this Jesus-centeredness, this focus on Jesus Christ and his Lordship. But it is so easy for us to get focused on other things, isn't it? Focused on our video games, focused on our Netflix, focused on our career or our work or all these other things are so easily take away our focus. But even for a church, it's easy for the church to get so focused on other things other than Jesus Christ. Doing good works, serving the poor, all good things to do. Even the worship itself, making sure the music sounds absolutely fantastic. I love great music, but that can become the focus and not Jesus Christ himself. There's so many things that can draw our focus away, and that had happened in the church that Paul's writing to here. He's talking to this church that you guys have lost your focus. You're not focused on Jesus Christ himself. And I'm not saying today that any of you are not focused on Jesus Christ, but it's a challenge to me and for each one of us that we would make and ensure that Jesus Christ is our focus and that we're moving closer towards him. Our world needs us to be. Our community needs us to be. Your family needs you to be, as a mother or as a father, that you would be, have Christ right at the center, that he would be your focus. That Jesus is at the center, and in many different cultures and many different places, there's that sense of Jesus, of a gathering around, of community. And as I reflected on this, I thought about the table. In many cultures, the table is a place of gathering, and Jesus himself, he gathered his disciples around a table, a place of food, a place of eating and relating. And this evening, we're going to gather around tables. Some of us might gather around some chairs or sit, stand, eating a sausage, but we're going to gather around food. Jesus gathered people around. There's so many people that he gathered around himself, but it was gathering them into community, and they sat and ate food together. You know, in Jesus' time, who he ate with or who you ate with really showed who and how you identified. So the people you had a meal with determined who you identified as and with. And the people Jesus had the most meals with were the tax collectors and sinners, the people that nobody else wanted around him and wanted to be around. Not all the religious leaders wanted to be around. There's another picture, and is a picture of a fire. I'm just going to grab something from over here. Jesus gathered people around fires. He gathered people around spaces and had community with them. And this picture I've taken from the wall in my mum and dad's house. And the person who did this drawing, she's from Tea Tree, which is about 2 hours north of, 2 hours, Sam? 2 hours north of Alice Springs. But she did this drawing. And just, so it's from the Aboriginal people in Central Australia. But there's this gathering around a central place, community. People gather around, they tell story, they link in together. There's a space there, and quite often it's that central space is a fire. It's a place that people come around the fire. That's where warmth is. That's where life is. That's where storytelling happens. That's where identity is given. That's where the stories are passed on from generation to generation. That's where community is. That's where everything facilitates around those spaces. In fact, this is Tea Tree. This one actually represents Alice Springs. Arionga's out here. And then Ernabella, Armada, Mimile, I'd have to get some direction on those and get my compass out to get those ones right. But that's the story from the author of this drawing. But about people coming together. And then there's communities out here where people are gathering together in smaller groups, talking and sharing. But that sense of community. Jesus drew people together around fires, around community. When he restored Peter, who denied him 3 times, and Peter's a mess, he's left Christ, and his life's a wreck, he's gone back to fishing. But what does Jesus do? Jesus sits on the beach, has a fire, has some fish, has some stuff ready for him, and then he comes back into that place, and he gathers with Peter around a fire and has a meal with him, and then the other disciples join. But there's this communing, there's this gathering place around a fire. There's other gathering places which we see in the scriptures. Another one of those is the well, where there's water. Many communities here in Adelaide, we have tap water, and maybe you don't drink Adelaide tap water. Maybe you get yours out of a bottle, or you buy a carton of it because you don't like the water, or you get it filtered and to get really nice water. But we are a blessed nation that we actually can be fussy about our water. In many nations where you go, even just having water on tap is a luxury. But in many communities, the well, the water source, is a gathering point where people share, they talk. Jesus did this to the Samaritan woman, that he was at the well and needed water, and she came to that place. But that well was the gathering place where people came to get water. Water is life. But when a Christ-centered community, Jesus is at the center where we get that water of life from Jesus Christ himself. In Matthew 9 and 10 and 10, there's a story about some people. Who is at this table? We'll jump back to the picture of the table. Who's at the table? Who's with Jesus in community? Who's at the well? These are the ones that gathered around him. In Matthew 9, verse 9 to 13, there's the story where Jesus calls Matthew the tax collector. He says, Matthew, come follow me. And Matthew leaves his booth, leaves his job, and follows Jesus. He moves towards Jesus. At that same time, he goes from there, and then he goes with Jesus, and he has a meal with all these people who had a different attitude, a different way of thinking to Jesus, a different teaching to Jesus. But they sat and had a meal with him because they were moving closer to Christ. They were moving closer to Jesus. They were becoming Jesus-focused. I don't know if they're saved yet. I don't know if they've given their life to Jesus. Theologically, you can work all that out. But they were moving themselves towards Jesus. They were becoming Jesus-focused. And I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're like those tax collectors who are far out here, but you're starting to get focused on Jesus and you're moving towards him. You're welcome at the table. That's what I'd like to say. At the table of Jesus Christ, you're welcome at the table. Even if you're thinking and maybe your attitudes and maybe even your beliefs aren't quite lined up yet, but Jesus welcomed Matthew as a tax collector to his table, and he also welcomed these others who were willing to come towards him. At the same, just after that story, the Pharisees are saying, well, how do you have a meal with these people, but there's us here and you don't? You shouldn't be doing that, Jesus. So they are the people who should be in the room, should be at the table, but they're not moving towards Christ. They know the scriptures, they know everything about him, but they're not moving towards him. They're stuck in that space. And then they start to criticize Jesus. And Jesus says, I didn't come, the healthy don't need a doctor. I came for the sick. I came for those who really need salvation. You guys think you've got it all sorted out. So there's this warning, particularly for us who have been around church for a long time, that we can get stuck, that we can get to a place where we're no longer moving towards Jesus. I've been following Jesus for many decades, long time. I'm from 12 years of age. Now I'm at 40 plus, so you can do the math. It's almost like 4 decades of following Jesus, but it's easy to get stuck and not be continuing to move towards Jesus. And Jesus tells the Pharisees, you've got to keep moving towards me. That's my interpretation of it. That you're welcome at the table. And we know in the book of Acts, later many of them did. Once the church, Jesus Christ died and resurrected, many of them actually did come to faith. Many of these Pharisees found salvation. We give them a hard time, but many of them did actually become part of the first church. But they got stuck at that moment because Jesus didn't fit it and they weren't moving towards him. They were moving in the opposite direction. Which way are you moving? Are you moving more closer to Christ and being Christ-centered and Christ-focused in all that you do? Or are you stuck? And others were moving away. It's interesting, if you jump down to Matthew chapter 10, there's the story there where it talks about, or gives a list of the disciples. Jesus has prayed and then he says, these are the 12 disciples, and he names each one of them. And there's 3 that get a little bit of extra added to them. There's Matthew, the tax collector, Simon, the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus later. So even Jesus allowed somebody who he knew that wasn't coming with him at the table. He was in that space, but he didn't move towards Jesus. In fact, he was moving away from Jesus, even though he was in the room with Jesus. But I'm fascinated by the contrast between Matthew and Simon. The fact that they were both at the table. They were both there together having fellowship and eating together. Because Matthew's a tax collector. So we give them a bad rap, but they should get a bad rap. He was basically the mafia. We would probably use the word mafia. He lorded it over his own people. He took advantage of his own people to get money for himself and then money for this group of people who was occupying their land and oppressing his own people. So he's really sold out to the other side. He's gone to the dark side. He's over there. He's one of the enemies, even though he was one of their people. So his own people hated him because he abused them and took advantage of them. So he's aligned with the ruling group and the power base and this oppressive group upon them. He's aligned with them. And then you've got Simon the Zealot. Well, he's got a... Matthew's over here. Simon's on the other side. He's opposing this ruling party. He's fighting against it. He wants religious freedom. He wants liberation. He wants to be break free from oppression, and he's going to use the sword to get it if he has to. He will do anything to get away from it. They are miles apart. But when they're Jesus focused, they're sitting at the same table having a meal. That challenges me. Do I push people away because they don't have the same political views as me? Do I push people away because they don't think like me or they're a bit different to me? But in a Christ-centered community, people with all sorts of different views and thoughts and political views or other views, religious views, can actually come in together and sit in that same space and do life together. They can come around Christ. They can draw close to Christ. And I don't know, I'd love to have been a fly on the wall to hear some of the conversations between those, to Matthew and Simon, out the back when Jesus wasn't around. What were they, what the argy-bargy that would have been going on, the conflict that may have been happening there. But as they came closer and closer to Christ, that stuff dropped away and their central focus became Jesus Christ and his mission and his purpose. What a challenge for us to make sure that our focus is Christ-centered. That in all that we do, that we're continually moving closer to Jesus Christ. Whether you're on the journey just for a short time and you're moving in, or whether you've been around for a long time, but that we're all moving and focused towards Jesus Christ and we're sitting at that table together enjoying him. So Paul was absolutely obsessed with Jesus Christ and that he was Lord. Not just Jesus Christ, but him as Lord, boss, commander, because the Romans lorded it over the Jews, he lorded over them. He says, well, Jesus is now your Lord. Let Jesus lord it over you. Give him your attitudes. Give him your things. So for us, in our home groups are starting this week. So if you're in a home group, mate, get to it. If you're in our meals, our walks, our activities, our youth gatherings, our Lefevre kids, let all of that be something where we're actually bringing Christ into that and being Christ-focused right at the center. As I read through that same passage in 1 Corinthians, you also see that the church has been given all the gifts of God's grace. God's grace and the gifts of his grace is upon them. It says, given you, you have been enriched in every way. You do not lack any spiritual gift. And so often when we read that passage, we'll read it as that you there as me personally. But actually that passage is actually you, the church. And so often we want to take that passage in particular and, oh, I lack nothing. But actually that I lack nothing is actually, and all the spiritual gifts have been given to the church. That I'm absolutely confident that Jesus Christ has placed within us all the spiritual gifts, all that we need to be the community that he's called us to be. That as we all move closer towards him, as we all move towards him, all the spiritual gifts, all the serving gifts, all the speaking gifts, all the prophetic gifts, all the healing ministry gifts, all of that is within us as a community. God has placed it there. That we lack nothing, that his grace is upon us. God doesn't have anything else to give us. He gave us Jesus Christ. That's it. It's finished. It's complete. There's no more to be given. There's no special extra. He's given us all that we need in Jesus Christ. We have everything that we need to be what he would have us be to this community of Lefevre La Peninsula. And I believe beyond to the world as well, various parts of the world, including Alice Springs and other places as well, as we talk about some things that we're going to do over there over the next couple of weeks. Our community desperately needs a life-giving community. We're living at a time where society has been heading towards a more disconnected and more isolated in its just expression, that we're becoming more fractured and more isolated as a society. COVID has just accelerated that so greatly. But that is the last thing that humanity needs. Humanity needs community. Every human being needs community. And God has placed us in a beautiful place to have community and to be community and be a place where people can be drawn into that. So as we build out of COVID as a church, that we build in a way that is open to answer that need. Because when there's a decrease in community or an increase in isolation, you know, that's where violence increases. That's where anxiety increases, depression increases, we have mental health issues, emotional wellness decreases. So as a group, we need to fight for community. Fight for that place where everybody can come and feel a sense of belonging and a place where we can say, yeah, this is home. This is where I belong. That I would ask each one of us to sit at the table and fight for that. And whether you're an older person and you hold some very different views to a younger person, I'd ask you, just sometimes, stop and listen to what those younger ones have to say. And maybe their views upset your views, but just stop and listen to their view. Younger ones, don't push older people away. There's a saying going around, okay, boomer. You know, let's just lump all those people in that boomer category. We'll just sort of dismiss them as boomers. Don't do that. I encourage you. Just listen. Hear their heart. Learn from their journey. But as we sit at that table together, where Christ is the focus, there's power there. And our community, because of COVID, has accelerated it. But there's a desperate need, a desperate fight for us, desperate place for the church in community in the Lefevre Peninsula to be a community that embraces people, because people are lonely, people are isolated. And maybe even if you're here today or online and you're feeling that, I encourage you, connect in. If you need to get, if you're not part of a home group, become part of one. See myself, Pastor Alan, Paul, we can get you into something. We've got some limitations on that at the moment. There's only 10 allowed in a house, but we'll work around it. We'll find ways to get you connected because it's so important for you, but it's also so important for others that we are a Christ-centered community where we're all moving towards Jesus. Sandra's going to come in a minute and lead us in communion and just bring us around the Lord's table, and where we do say, Jesus, you are at the center. Jesus, we're going to make that choice. Your life, your death, and your resurrection, it has power and it centers us. But I'd encourage you, don't allow that moving towards Jesus to be a Sunday-only thing. That in all of our discussions, in all of our activities, all of our walking groups and our Lefevre kids and our youth groups and our Sunday schools and our coffee catch-ups, all of that, allow ourselves to be moving towards Jesus. And if you feel like you've got stuck and you'd say, oh, I don't know that I love Jesus, but maybe I'm not moving towards him, and you feel a little bit stuck. As you take communion, between you and Jesus, you don't need to tell me. Jesus will hear it. Between you and Jesus, you say a little prayer. Say, Jesus, I want to get moving again. I've plateaued. I've just got into a comfortable zone, and I'm just sitting there. But Jesus is saying, I'm wanting you to just move closer to me, closer to the fire, closer to that community, closer to that place, and allow Christ to draw you in. Because he's got a seat at the table for those who are just starting on the way in, and those who have been in the room for a long time. He's got a place for all of you, each one of us at the table. I'm going to ask Sandra to come and just lead us in communion.